The ferocity of the upcoming battle for Baghdad may likely be determined by the resolve of Iraq's most able fighting force, the Republican Guard. Built in strength near the end of the Iran-Iraq war and led by Saddam Hussein's son Qusay, the Republican Guard now reportedly has about 100,000 soldiers in 6 divisions. They are better equipped, trained, and more motivated than Iraq's regular army. But will the Republican Guard be willing to go down with Saddam Hussein? Ken Pollack has been studying the Iraqi military for years, first on the National Security Council staff during the Clinton administration, and then for his book, The Threatening Storm, The Case for Invading Iraq. He's director of the Saban Center at the Brookings Institution and joins us in our studio. Thanks very much for being back with us.
Thank you, Scott, for having me.
How good is the Republican Guard?
Well, they are the best conventional military force in Iraq. But that's a very relative term. And what I think was demonstrated in 1991 during the Gulf War was that while the Republican Guard may be good in a regional sense, they really can't hold a candle to U.S. forces, certainly not in the kind of a fight that they found themselves in 1991.
Were they mostly retreated after a while, didn't they?
The Republican Guard actually stood and fought, and they fought to the death. Mm. And U.S. combat veterans came out of those battles with the Republican Guard saying that they had never fought against a fiercer foe in all of their time in the military than they had against the Republican Guard.
What motivates them?
First, the Republican Guard are mostly Sunni Arabs. Saddam does tend to recruit them from among the most loyal tribes. Beyond that, Saddam rewards them very well. They get better pay than the rest of the army. They get better food. They get all kinds of privileges. It means something to be a Republican Guard. But for most of the Republican Guards, as best I can tell, it's mostly about the honor of the Republican Guard as an institution. That seems to be, as best we can tell, why they fought and died at meaningless battlefields during the Gulf War, because they have such tremendous pride in who they are as being the best in Iraq, and that that has to mean something.
Are they utterly loyal at the same time to Saddam Hussein? I mean, I remember when I was leaving the first Gulf War, I was told by U.S. intelligence officers that they were not disheartened over the prospect of a coup that would begin among Republican Guard officers.
Right. Over the last 12 years, we have seen a number of coup attempts against Saddam come out of the Republican Guard. And it's why I and a number of other Iraq experts believe that Saddam is trying to use the Republican Guard divisions in a perimeter defense around Baghdad. They're located about 20 to 40 kilometers outside of the city rather than being inside the city itself, because he probably doesn't fully trust the loyalty of the Guard.
Based on your history and experience, what would you imagine the strategy they're entertaining for the defense of Baghdad is?
I think that if they can have their druthers, what they will try to do is to stop us at that outer perimeter line. So the guards are dug in around Baghdad in this tough terrain where it will be hard for the U.S. to maneuver around the guard units and where there's enough trees and buildings to give them cover from the air. I think it's pretty clear that one of the lessons that Saddam Hussein learned both from his own experiences in the Gulf War and also from the Serbian experiences in Bosnia and Kosovo is that the best way to defeat aircraft is with trees.
I've got to ask you about the Fedayeen, irregular units that have been attacking in many ways behind the lines, both American and British units. I must say in the months and the weeks, even the year leading up to the war, they were not often cited as a source of Iraqi military resistance.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is I think that the Fedayeen have really overachieved. I don't think it's just the U.S. military that was discounting their role in this fight. I also think that Saddam Hussein and the Iraqi military also discounted the role in this fight.
I mean, this is a terrible generalization, I'm sure, but are they essentially a kind of Mogadishu-like street gang?
I'm glad you actually raised that example, yeah, because I think that that's exactly where it came from. Mm-hmm. I think that Saddam and his generals went looking for cases where the U.S. military was defeated in some way, shape, or form, and I don't think there's any question that they looked very hard at Mogadishu and are copying the Somali technicals.
What kind of interruption can they represent? Have they already represented to the overall strategic goal of the U.S. and Britain?
They've clearly interrupted the plan. That said, I don't think that they've derailed the operation as a whole. The problem, the real problem, I think, for the U.S. side is that because of the way that the war has worked out so far, U.S. forces have lost momentum. And that momentum is important. It's important for psychological reasons. The expectation that the way that the United States would get the easiest war possible was by creating a sense of inevitability and rapid inevitability mm-hmm. of Saddam's demise. The problem is that by going in this fashion and being forced to regroup and retrench, the Iraqis have recovered psychologically, and they are now buoyed by their early successes. Those personnel who are willing to fight are probably going to be willing to fight even harder than beforehand because they will have seen some degree of success. And Saddam is clearly magnifying the actual success he's enjoyed because, truth to tell, most of the setbacks that the U.S. military have suffered are mostly tactical setbacks and problems with the terrain, much less so from the actual capabilities of Iraqi forces.
Ken Pollack, who's author of the book, The Threatening Storm, The Case for Invading Iraq, he directs the Saban Center at Brookings Institution. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.